Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 136 of Taking Flight. My apologies that I have not released a podcast recently. I totally forgot how long ago I recorded an episode, so my apologies on that. Anyways, we're back again with another episode, and this will probably be the last episode for a couple weeks. I could possibly do a podcast while in Peru. But I leave this Wednesday out of Seattle and will be heading to Iquitos, Peru. Anyways, this is episode 136. Welcome to a brand new episode. The last episode was rather quiet as I guess my mic was a little far away from my mouth, so I hope that this episode will be a little bit louder, and I definitely apologize. I really want to apologize for the way the last episode turned out. So, just was it today? I think it was yesterday. Asiana did its last passenger 747 flight. It's the end of an era there over at Asiana. Gonna find the article here so I can go into more detail. So let's see here. It's taking a little bit to load, which is annoying. Asiana Airlines has marked its last 747 passenger flight. Now, only Air China in East Asia uses the 747-400 on a passenger role. So, I don't understand why this is going so slow. There we go. All right, sorry about that, guys. So, Asiana has flown its last passenger 747 for the final time on a revenue-generating service. It was one of the three remaining airlines to use the A380 and the passenger 747, with only Lufthansa and Korean Air now doing so. Asiana's rare non-extended-range Boeing 767-300 is the next to go, along with its sole remaining A320. Asiana has only ever operated three passenger 747-400s. The last example is registered Hotel Lima 7428 as a 25.8-year-old frame that was delivered to the South Korean carrier factory fresh in June of 1998. After being parked for early 2020, the aircraft briefly returned to service later that year. It was parked again in May of 2022, only to rejoin the operating fleet later that summer. During this period, it only operated with Asia, mostly most frequently from Seoul to Changchun, and I'm sorry I butchered that, to Tokyo Narita. Since the start of March 2024, the aircraft has only been exclusively flown between Seoul, Incheon, and Taipei, Taiwan. It is thus a part that its final scheduled service was on that 907-mile route. According to Flight Radar 24, the flight number Oscar Zulu 711 left Incheon for Taiwan at 10:15, arriving 2 hours 9 minutes later at 11:24 local time, returning as Oscar Zulu 712. Depart from Taipei at 13:34, arriving back hour 52 minutes later at 12:16:26. Now that Hotel Lima 7428 will no longer carry passengers, it will presumably be turned into a freighter. It isn't only Asiana that has withdrawn the passenger 747-400. Like many carriers globally, Korean Air did so in 2020, although the 747-8s live on and will return to the UK this summer. Since Lufthansa won't use the 747-400 to South Korea this summer, Seoul will no longer have any passenger flights on that variant this season. So, it's, once again, you know, the end of another era, but it'll be exciting to see that aircraft turn into a freighter. However, I feel like the aircraft is going to be turned into a freighter with another airline scene as Asiana has to sell their cargo side of operations. So, you know, I wish that aircraft, you know, the best of luck as it continues on serving in a different way. So, we have been talking and covering a lot about Boeing recently. And Boeing CEO resigns amidst 737 MAX crisis, top management shakeup. David Calhoun and Stan Deal, two top Boeing executives, will leave the company as the post-Alaska Airlines incident crisis continues. Boeing has announced that David Calhoun, the current president and chief executive officer of the manufacturer, will step down at the end of 2024, with other company executives also retiring or not seeking re-election for their positions. In a message to the Boeing employees, which the manufacturer shared publicly, Calhoun said that Alaska Airlines flight AS-1282 incident, when a door plug blew out from the Boeing 737 MAX 9, was a watershed moment for the company. We must continue to respond to this incident with humility and complete transparency. We also must inculcate to the total commitment to safety and quality at the level of our company. While Calhoun pressed that he believes Boeing will come through its current adversity as a better company, the executive stated that it was the right time for a CEO transition at the playmaker. As a result, 2024 will be the last year that Calhoun will act as the CEO of the company. However, Calhoun's letter did not indicate whether the executive would abandon his position as president of Boeing. Calhoun replaced Dennis Muilenburg in December of 2019, while the company was still dealing with the fallout following the two fatal Boeing 737 MAX crashes in Indonesia and Ethiopia. Nevertheless, Calhoun emphasized that the company's board has been prepared for the transitionary process, which will result in a number of changes at Boeing. For one, Larry Kellner, the current chairman of the board of Boeing, has informed Calhoun that he will not seek re-election for his position at the upcoming annual general meeting, which should happen in April of 2024. You know, Boeing shouldn't even be going through what they're going through right now. They have it's a self-inflicted wound, seeing as they, I'm not going to dig into that because it's a subject that is, you know, that shouldn't have to be talked about, but it unfortunately is. So there was an Aeromexico Boeing 737 MAX 8 that scraped its wingtip during a go-around at Mexico City International Airport. This is not the first time this has happened. There was a Boeing 737, I believe it was a 900ER, operated by United, that I don't remember when this happened, but it scraped its bottom scimitar winglet, and in fact the whole thing disintegrated. But crosswinds are believed to be the cause of the accident. The Boeing 737 MAX 8 operated by Aeromexico sustained minor damage on Sunday after scraping its left wingtip during landing in Benito Juarez International Airport. Crosswinds allegedly complicated the aircraft's approach, prompting the pilots to abort the landing twice. Wind readings show that the airport experienced its highest gusts in the middle of the day between 12 and 1800 local time. Crosswinds often result in tricky approaches and sometimes terrifying episodes as crews try to bring their aircraft back to the ground as gently as possible. So, I fly RC airplanes, and just like a full-size aircraft, RC airplanes encounter turbulence and the same things that a full-size aircraft will. For example, this past week I was flying, I have a aircraft, that RC plane that is a Cessna 150, and it has an 84-inch wingspan, and the crosswind was strong enough that when I was crabbing, the aircraft was completely coming in, completely sideways, and I had to abort like five times and keep going around, and then I was finally able to get it. So it could be very tricky, and crosswinds definitely do make it very, very, very hard to land sometimes. So Christian Hudges was a, and I'm sorry if I butchered your last name, was a passenger on board the flight. He shared a photo with Simple Flying on Monday, and Simple Flying is where I am reading this article, showing the damaged lower tip of the Advanced Technology Winglet. So this has nothing to do with, obviously, you know, with Boeing and the MAX. It just has to do with the wind. And unfortunately, I have to say that because a lot of people go out of the way just to blame Boeing for each little incident. And yeah, stop doing that. Just because, you know, an incident happens doesn't mean it has to do anything with Boeing. Kind of like all the United incidents, that has to do with Boeing, United and their maintenance and old aircraft. So the best way to get a good explanation on issues, look up Stig on YouTube, and he's an aircraft mechanic for American Airlines, and he will best explain everything as he works on aircraft every single day. So you'll explain it better than I can. So Hudges confirmed that the flight was Aeromexico Flight 495 from Seattle Tacoma International Airport. According to both FlightAware and Flight Radar 24, the aircraft operating the flight was a 737 MAX 8 registered as X-ray Alpha Dash Charlie Charlie November. The plane took off from Seattle Tacoma International Airport at 11 on Sunday and flew at a cruise altitude of 39,000 feet before jumping to 41,000 feet about 3 hours into the flight. Around 4 hours later, after takeoff, the aircraft began its descent. 20 minutes later, the plane was passing through 15,000 feet at approximately 1341. It lined up for its final approach onto runway 05 right. Data shows the plane aborted the landing after reaching around 185 miles per hour. It then gained altitude and increased its speed to perform a go-around. It is believed that the crosswind caused the complications during the aircraft's landing. Hudges also went into detail about the frightening ordeal. It was our first landing attempt. Landing attempt aborted the second as well. Landed the third. The pieces dangling off the wing, dangling in the video, fell off somewhere over the city after the second attempt. And undoubtedly, it was terrifying. So we'll definitely be looking to see what comes of this as investigations, I'm sure, will begin. So JetBlue is going to be cutting some routes out of Los Angeles as well as international routes, as they are seeing some financial issues. The airline will be cutting routes, such as Los Angeles to Cancun, Los Angeles to Costa Rica, Los Angeles to Las Vegas, Los Angeles to Miami, Los Angeles to Puerto Vallarta, Los Angeles to Reno, Los Angeles to San Francisco, and Los Angeles to Seattle. In the wake of recent regulatory decisions, JetBlue's leadership team has chosen to focus its attention on routes that are time-tested to turn a profit. In a statement published by NBC News, the carrier had the following words to share. JetBlue is constantly evaluating our routes to serve our customers, return our airline to profitability, and find ways to improve our reliability. Maintenance issues have also played a role in JetBlue's choices to eliminate some services, as the carrier expects to have fewer planes at its disposal. The airline could have over 15 Airbus A320 family jets out of service amid challenges with Pratt & Whitney GTF engines. And the whole thing with the Pratt & Whitney GTF engines is that Pratt & Whitney has not, due to supply chain shortages, has not been able to get the parts it needs, leading to these issues of aircraft with these engines not being able to fly. So that is all we have today. I will be leaving on Wednesday, flying out of Seattle with Delta, flying on the Airbus A321neo. It'll be my first A321neo, and it will be departing Seattle at 6 a.m. and arriving in Atlanta in the afternoon with layover. Then we'll connect onward from Atlanta to Lima on an Airbus A350-900, and then an A320-200 from A320-200 from Lima to Iquitos. So gotta be at the SeaTac at 3 a.m. in the morning. There's a group of us, about 20 of us, going on this mission trip, so we arrive 3 hours earlier, just because there's more things to take care of logistically and make sure everybody gets to security and all the bags are loaded on the aircraft. So I'll see what I can do as far as producing another podcast or two. I'll probably at least be able to hopefully get one while I'm down there. We'll see. It's kind of hard seeing as there's so much activity going on. So we'll see what happens there. Once again, I want to apologize for the delay in getting out a episode. It's been a month since I had last had a kind of episode out. So just want to thank you guys for listening to Taking Flight. It's a pleasure to make these episodes for you, and we look forward to bringing another episode to you next time. Till next time, fly safe.